tribe that flows in layers. Right now, Fife is a point sayer. At times, I'm a studio conveyor. Mr. Dinkins, would you please be my mayor? You'll be doing us a really big favor. Boy, this track really has a lot of flavor. When it comes to rhythms, Quest is your savior. Follow us for the funky behavior. Make a note on the rhythm we gave you. Feel free, drop your pants, check your hair. Do you like the garments that we wear? I instruct you to be the obeyer. A rhythm recipe that you'll savor. Doesn't matter if you're minor or major. Yes, the tribe of the game with a player. As you inhale like a breath of fresh air.
Hello, today we are with our guest, and this is Catch the Flavor, hosted by Jacob. And today we are with our guest, Farheen Khan, and she is with the organization known as Uniting Muslims and Allies for Humanity, or UMAH. And she is a writer, she's a consultant, and she's also a community activist. And she's also the author of two books that focus on gender-based Islamophobia, Abuse, Healing, and Self-Love. Farheen is a motivational speaker, and she continues to speak and write for magazines and blog sites that appear in mainstream ethnic media pages, and she speaks about many women's issues and Islamophobia, among other topics. And we're expecting a call from her soon.
Oh, hi, Jacob. I'm on the line.
Thanks so much for the opportunity. I'm just wondering, on the date of March 6th, you were among a dozen local groups that participated in the Women's March. And I'm just wondering, what was your experience with this march?
The march itself, actually, I wasn't present because I was actually the March 6th. Sorry, my apologies. I think really what it comes down to is that, you know, participating in these marches has made us realize that there is actually movement happening again. There are a lot of women that are coming together, to start to mobilize. I mean, this is not the first time we've seen this, but certainly this is something we're seeing at a much larger scale, particularly at the time where, we're seeing so much happening south of the border. Whether it's the kind of misogyny we're dealing with or it's the Islamophobia that we're having to deal with, it's certainly something that we're seeing a lot of.
And just adding on another question, have you ever worked with any of these new immigrant women before?
Have we worked with them? So I think what it is that we're not, as an organization, a service delivery organization, but certainly a lot of stories have come forward, and we do our best to sort of, you know, build bridges, I would say, more so than anything else, between communities so that we can address the issues around Islamophobia. As a Muslim woman, as a hijab-wearing woman, for me especially, I think what's really important is that, we recognize that there's such a direct impact between Islamophobia and violence against women because of the types of hate crimes that are coming out actually are very gendered. So often that's what we're seeing. We're seeing women, you know, who are being attacked, whether it be verbally or physically or even sexually. But the reporting of that even in of itself is quite low as compared to, I'm sure, the number that are actually happening in the city or around the country.
I'd like to add an experience I've had. My mother, she and a couple of her friends, my mother asked me to join her one day to go meet this new coming family from Syria, and the mother's name was Najla, and she currently still lives at Bayview and Shepherd, and she has a family of three daughters and one son, and she actually married her husband, which unfortunately passed away in the Syrian war, and she came to Canada after her husband passed away. And I noticed once when I entered the household, my mother said to me that the daughters sort of don't communicate and introduce themselves sort of to the males. And I'm just wondering, why is that?
I missed the last part of your question. Could you repeat that for me?
Oh, sorry. So when I was at the household, there was a typical greeting where the woman engage in hugs and they do the exchange of the kisses on the cheeks. But I heard that from my mother that the woman don't usually introduce themselves to the men. And I'm just wondering, is that part of the culture, or is it just like a...
I think that perhaps that's I can't really speak to whether that's a cultural or religious thing. I think it really depends on people's comfort level, whether or not they'd like to. I think in some cultures, perhaps that is something that happens, and there are some belief systems around that, as to whether they should or should not engage with the males in that way. But I don't, I'm sorry, I'm not sure what, how that experience is relevant to the conversation we're having around homophobia.
Oh, I'm just also, another question I'd want to ask, what problems would, new immigrants face when just coming into Canada or just settling into another country, and, incidents, which type of incidents have you heard about that have resolved around that, problems?
Sure. In terms of the ones that I know of, well, there's been a few. There was one woman, for example, who was actually she was going into a residential building, and she was asked to. She had taken a garbage bag of clothes with her to donate for one of the Syrian families. And the security guard who was there basically said to her, you're not allowed to enter into the facility or the building. When asked why, the woman, the security guard said, well, it's because I don't know if there's a bomb in this bag. And so the woman was obviously quite upset about that. She offered to open the bag up and empty the contents out, but the security guard refused to listen and basically denied her access to that residential building. So that's one example. I have heard other women say that with their hijab, for example, that that they haven't been able to actually they weren't served at the local coffee shop. People were told not to somebody else had to intervene. From the lineup, who was not racialized, to say, this is inappropriate, this is not supposed to be happening, what are you doing? And then that prompted the server to actually then go ahead and serve this individual woman.
So, just hearing from a political perspective, do you think this is the result of the election of a rhetoric that we are hearing from the United States just expressed by the President Donald Trump, or is it just...
I think, to be honest with you, Islamophobia has existed since far before that. We certainly saw it right after 9/11, and it's been ongoing since that time. There's obviously a lot more awareness about it now. I've been talking about it since after 9/11 because I got my attack myself, and there's many others who have been. But what's different is that, and then even in 2015, I ran in the federal election, And that was very much because our own prime minister was being very anti-Muslim. So, you know, those seeds of hatred and divisive politics have been playing out for a number of years. You know, us seeing an increase of that is because certainly we've seen a rise of it happen recently, but I wouldn't completely 100% attribute it to just the U.S. election. I think that we've had this problem in Canada as well. We just haven't acknowledged it. It hasn't been as outrightly seen or displayed. Now, having, you know, gone through the presidential election in the U.S., it certainly is just legitimized for people more so that it's appropriate or okay to do these things or to engage in bigotry, and that's the problem. That's the issue.
Do you think the Canadian government is doing enough, and what more can they do on Islamophobia?
So I think, there's been a lot of talk about this Motion 103, and, it appreciates the government's trying to make an effort to do something about it. I also do think, though, that there's a lot more that can be done. First, I should say, it's nice that the Prime Minister and others have been very vocal about the hate that happened in Quebec City. I was there myself recently, had a chance to meet with the families that were affected, attend the mosque and that kind of thing. So it's definitely helpful to know that the Prime Minister and, you know, the other members of Parliament are supportive and have stood in solidarity with the Muslim community. I think along the same lines, though, we should also hold the government accountable on issues such as Bill C-51, that certainly would be or could be utilized against, marginalized communities of which Muslims are a part. And so I think that sort of, if they want to continue to show their commitment and their solidarity with the Muslim community, particularly around the issue of Islamophobia, then we need to kind of, continue to challenge those types of issues. I also think that with the ban or the executive order around the immigration ban, our government could do some work around that as well, around the third safe agreement, which they should also end right away.
Can you tell me more about the bill that's being enacted about on this issue?
The motion?
Yeah, the motion.
Yeah, the motion is something that was introduced. It basically really just asked the government to do some sort of an investigation to firstly, say officially that they denounce homophobia and that, they stand in solidarity. And secondly, that there should be some sort of investigation done or some sort of inquiry made that would provide some recommendations around how to challenge Islamophobia more specifically within the Canadian context. So that's essentially what the motion is. Now, it's not an actual piece of legislation, so it doesn't really change anything. But on principle, it's something that's being done just to be able to show support.
And just adding, are there any suggestions would you do just to, especially if it's homophobia is faced by young women?
Suggestions to the government?
To the government, just how to handle the situation.
Right. So my suggestion, for that particular motion, I think it's more of a, just so I'm clear, is it the motion or just generally the government? The motion, okay. The way it's written, it's at this point, it's just it's an opportunity for the government to consider how best to challenge Islamophobia on a broader level. I think that, from what I understand, that there has been a call made out just recently for some funding that they're also offering around that. So that's nice to see. So, I'm hopeful that this will certainly support us as a community.
When I think about the word Islamophobia, I think it's like a very negative term, and I just it bothers me because when I think about it, I don't hear like much other terms that are used to describe the fear of just like another culture. And when I think about it, like I've had many friends, especially Muslim friends, and I've actually am best friends with a lot of them today, and I just have to say, I don't like the assumption of just how, certain groups, ethnic groups are viewed presently, and I think the government and just activist groups should just, in the future, give more awareness and more insight so people have better relationships and can stop using terms that are negatively impacted on certain ethnic groups. And and I just wondering, do you want to add anything on that?
Certainly, you know, for us, we know that there's a problem within our own legislation right now. We know that there's a problem with, you know, even individuals within our own, comments that are using hatred and divisive language and very anti-Islamophobic language. So I definitely appreciate that comment around, you know, being able to do more to be more sensitive to those types of, you know, and to challenge that. I think that particularly right now, when we're looking at the conservative leadership race that's happening, I think it's super important for us as individuals, not just Muslims, but as allies as well, to make sure that we hold, you know, our people accountable, and that we actually vocalize our feelings and thoughts around the fact that, you know, bigotry and hatred have no place in Canada. Certainly does exist, but it's our job to stop that. So that, you know, we don't end up in the same situation as perhaps what we're seeing in the U.S. In terms of their election.
So just wondering, the party leadership of the Conservatives, do they support the motion on Islamophobia? But do they also have to talk about having a test for Canadians? And do you think there's a disconnection between this?
I think the Conservatives, I believe that they're divided. I believe that there is one individual within that leadership that has actually shown his support for it. But for the most part, from what I understand, that they are in principle against it. You know, and there a lot of people are showing opposition to that motion because there's some sort of an understanding that if you denounce, you know, Islamophobia, that you're also denouncing the ability to critique the religion or critique you know, certain values that the religion may hold. I don't think that that's the case. I think those are two different things. I think it's important for us to acknowledge the fact that hatred towards or against any community is inappropriate, and that by no means prevents people from vocalizing how they feel about a particular philosophy or theology. That's completely their choice, and they can speak to that however they'd like. But I don't feel like anybody has the rights, and this is about human rights, and this is about ensuring that people have access to the ability to, you know, have access to those rights that are listed in the Charter of Rights and Freedoms around religious freedoms and whatnot. But nobody should be, in any way should ever be discriminated against based on what they look like or what they wear or any other sort of identity that they carry. That's just unacceptable.
And just one more question. What should Canadians do to support people facing Islamophobia? What should Canadians do to support people facing Islamophobia? Just like the government?
Oh, that's a great question. Sorry, yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, I appreciate that question a lot because, you know, Islamophobia and challenging it is not just a Muslim issue. I think it's something that everybody should do. There's a few ways you can do that. Certainly, you know, you can send, I would say, if you have friends or you know people who are Muslim, definitely reach out to them and show them and just acknowledge that what's happening out there is wrong so that they can, you know, they know that they're not alone, first of all. Secondly, you know, if you are, if you want to be an ally, reach out to us, you know, on our website, umah.ca. We're always looking for volunteers and supporters to join us. We have events that we do. You know, we just recently did one called the Evening of Solidarity. It's all about, you know, peace and trying to build bridges across communities. You can learn how to become an ally in those meetings as well. We often, you know, encourage people to do little house parties and potlucks and get-togethers just to start to have the conversation. I think the more we get to know one another, the easier it'll be. And the last thing I would say is that if you see somebody saying something in your networks or in your friends or in your circles that you feel is being is Islamophobic, point it out. I think it's important to do that. You know, if you do it in a nice way, but just point it out so that people understand that, hey, you know what, you're checking them and saying, you know what, this is actually not right, and I think you should stop. It's an opportunity for people to be educated. We need to do more of that so that they understand that that it's not okay to discriminate people against for any purpose. I mean, even if it's, we would do the same if somebody was being misogynistic or if somebody was being, you know, racist. And so why can't we do it when somebody's being homophobic?
I totally agree with that point. In high school, I actually heard of a group that actually supported just discussing this topic. It was known as the Persian Support Group, and I've had a couple of friends in that group, and they had many festivals and also meetings and gatherings in the school, and that invited not just people from that specific cultural group, but also people from other groups around, and it just got us to give awareness to the school and just to participants there about right. just the different types of culture. And I also want to see that also I'm currently in college and I'm planning to transition to university next year. I would also like to see these types of groups to raise awareness and not just about their culture, just to share with people in their communities, people on their mm-hmm. campus, and just to give everyone a good outlook and just to show that everyone is just equal and as just one.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I certainly think anybody who's interested in starting up a group like that or wants to be more involved, they can definitely reach out to me or to us through this OMA.ca website, and we'd be happy to help support you in that.
And just another question, seeing elections all across the European continent and that's our talk about Islamophobia and immigration and just if they just say against if they were to get elected, what kind of stand should Canadians do to just to bring to like basically what's happening in Europe?
I think we have to be, you know, strong just like we are, or we try to be more vocal against that same type of bigotry. I mean, you know, we're seeing it in the U.S., and we need to stand against that, and we're seeing it if it happens, you know, in Europe as well, then we need to just keep standing our ground and making sure that, you know, we know that as Canadians we don't believe in this type of bigotry and hatred, and that, you know, we're just going to continue to be true to who we are and promote our values of inclusiveness and of peace.
And before we close, I would just want to ask, any last words you would like to say about just this topic?
I think, you know, when I ran in the federal election in 2015, one of the things people kept saying was that, you know, all Canadians hate Muslims. And I actually disagree with that. I think despite all that's happening even now and all of the horrible incidences we're hearing about, I still truly believe that most Canadians actually don't hate Muslims. And I think that there's a small minority of people who are taking over the media and making it seem like it's bigger than it is. I think that, you know, we have many, many allies, and I'm very grateful for those allies. And I think that, you know, as allies and as Muslims, we need to come together so that we can continue to educate people against Islamophobia and what that means.
Okay. That's all the time we have for now. And thank you so much, Farheen, for speaking with us on Radio Regent. And we like to give our best acknowledgments for coming onto the show today and just talk about a topic that is being widely addressed, not just in Canada, but around the world. And right. We thank you so much for coming on, and we hope you have a good night.
Thanks so much. All right. Take care.
Bye. Right now, we're going to go on a break, and I'll be hosting the next section, which will be on gender equality, and we'll be getting back soon. Thank you much.
Hey, can you pass me my antibacterial soap from my gym bag? Touching all that gym equipment has me feeling dirty.
Did you just say antibacterial soap?
Yeah. I can't spend a day without my antibacterial soap. It's way better than regular soap. That's a myth.
Scientists recommend the use of regular soap over antibacterial soap.
Why is that?
The reason why is because antibacterial soaps need to be used on your hands for 2 minutes to be effective. But the average user only spends 10 seconds washing their hands. Therefore, antibacterial soap isn't as effective as regular soap.
2 minutes is way too long. But if I do spend that much time washing my hands, won't I be cleaner than regular soap users?
Perhaps, but there are many risks associated with using antibacterial soaps. Antibacterial soaps contain a nasty ingredient called triclosan.
Triclosan? What is that?
Triclosan is an ingredient used in antibacterial soap to prevent contamination.
Well, isn't that good?
No, it isn't, because it has many side effects that are unhealthy.
Like what?
Triclosan is known to alter your hormone regulation, which can be very dangerous. And any sort of disruption can become hazardous to your health.
That sounds pretty dangerous.
Furthermore, when we wash our hands with antibacterial soap, the water supply which goes down to our sewers and eventually in the lake also contains triclosan. This way, not only is the aquatic life in danger, but everyone else who receives their water from the tap also exposed to triclosan.
That's horrible. But are antibacterial soaps the only products in which triclosan is used?
No. Most antibacterial products, such as body washes, toothpastes, and some cosmetics, also use triclosan to prevent contamination.
Wow, those are all products that I use. So what can I do to prevent the use of triclosan in my life?
It's easy. Just read the labels on the site to check if triclosan is one of the ingredients in the products, because not all products that you need use triclosan.
Okay, you scared me enough. I'm throwing away this antibacterial soap for a better choice. Can I borrow your soap?
Sure thing.
All right, let's go.
It. To all the people who can quest like a tribe does. Before this, did you really know what I was? Comprehend to the track force, why? Cuz getting mentions on the tip of the vibe buzz. Rock and roll to the beat of the funk fuzz. Wipe your feet really good on the rhythm rug. If you feel the urge to freak, do the jitterbug. Come and spread your arms if you really need a hug. Afrocentric living is a big shrug. A life filled with, that's what I love. A lower plateau is what we're above. If you diss us, we won't even think of. We'll nip of the dog and give a big shove. This rhythm really fits like a snug glove. Like a box of positives, it's a plus love. As the trial flies high like a dove.
Funky behavior. Make a note on the rhythm we gave ya. Feel free, drop your pants, check your hair. Do you like the garments that we wear? I instruct you to be the obeyer. A rhythm recipe that you'll savor. Doesn't matter if you're minor or major. Yes, to try.
vibe of the game with a player as you inhale like a breath of fresh air.
Tell me what you really like. Baby, I can take my time. We don't ever have to fight. Just take it step by step. I can see it in your eyes, 'cause they never tell me lies. I can feel that body shake and the heat between your legs. You've been scared of love and what it did to you. You don't have to run. Touch and it can set you free. We don't have to rush when you're alone with me. Time. I'm just trying to get you high, fade it off this touch. You don't need a lonely night, so baby I can make it right. You just gotta let me try to give you what you want. You've been scared of love and what it did to you. You don't have to run, I know what you've been through. Just a simple touch.
And we're back. That was The Weeknd, I Feel It Coming by Daft Punk. And we are back. I'm your host, Jacob. And we are here with our two co-guests. And your names are?
Hi, I'm Raisa.
I'm Nikki.
And today we're going to be talking about gender equality in Canada. And we're just going to start off with a simple definition of gender equality. Basically, gender equality is, if you haven't heard of the term, is the state in which access to rights or opportunities is affected by gender. And if you want to know, gender equality is also about sex equality, gender egalitarianism, sexual equality, and on the equality of the genders is the belief that everyone should receive equal treatment and is not discriminated against based on their certain gender. And gender equality is one of the objectives that is covered by the United Nations, the also known as the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, that states that they should seek equality in law and in social situations such as democratic activities and secure equal pay for equal work. And just wanted to mention, you may see gender equality services or just washrooms, as you might see in colleges, universities, or also any other restaurants. And personally, my college has one, and they are huge about gender equality. I'm also studying the community worker program, and we are informed a lot about the term equality, and basically we discuss different groups that are affected by this term, and that we are, that means the LGBTQ, also known as ethnic groups, and also marginalized groups. And to just to add on, what are you, from our guests, what are your insights about this issue?
Well, for starters, I struggle with the term equality. See, I don't think that equality really should be precisely what we're aiming for because, well, men and women or just any gender, each person is different. And you can't expect to give someone the same thing and expect same results, right? So, I mean, you can... Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, right now we're trying to give everyone an equal opportunity to succeed, not an equal.
Yeah, I think I know what you mean. Like, it's more about so that women have the, like, all genders have the opportunity to do something if they want to, rather than representation, because I don't think there's, like, is there ever going to be equal representation in every field for all genders, or, like, can there ever be equal representation?
Exactly, like, it's statistically speaking, more women go into fields with, about, like, humanities, right? Whereas men tend to go into like STEM courses, and and like men tend to do more like labor, and these are general trends. And the thing with equality is we're trying to force, we're trying to push women to try to do like STEM, like to go into STEM fields. And though I don't disagree with promoting this, it's kind of like not everyone's fit for everything, and we should really spend more time thinking about saying that everything you choose is not wrong versus you must try to fix whatever is going on. We're trying to break boundaries and do this and do that. And that's not really what you should be aiming for. We should just accept people, right?
I understand that to a extent. Like, I understand what you say about, like, that everything we do should be, and I think the reason that it's, like, because there are more men in STEM fields are often more valued than like, humanities fields or, like, arts fields. Like, and I think it's less about men and women and more about, like, femininity. Does that make sense? Or, like, just things that women do should be valued more than should be valued more than they are.
Well, what do you define as what things that women do? So, like, because right now you're confining women to certain stereotypes as well.
Yeah, I know. But, like, again, I'm saying that to what you were saying about, like, you know, it, like, not everybody.
No, I understand what you're saying. It's like when a man and a woman, this is, like, just the gender binary, whatever. Like, when they say, oh, I work at a restaurant, you expect the woman to be the server or the waitress, whereas you'd usually expect a man to be, like, a chef, someone who's doing
the more labor work.
Yeah, and, like, the quote-unquote harder work, and, like, and the women's position is, like, servitude. And though I understand what you're saying, I think that I don't know where the cause and effect is.
Just want to add on to that point. I totally agree. Very good points raised. I actually personally work in the restaurant industry, and I've seen many female chefs. They're very good workers. Many of them were – some of them were actually head chefs at our place. Unfortunately, they left because it was a uncomfortable environment for them since a lot of the dominance of the workers there were male. Also, some of them asked for raises from the managers, but unfortunately, they couldn't get raises. And I also have to say it's depending on age. I've been working there for 2 years, and I've seen many people that have come and go. And they were the youngest worker there is actually 15 years old. He's still in high school. Surprised that he's even working there because that's below the legal image, I mean, limit of working there. We've recently got another female chef. She's actually our second one. She's actually just started this week, and she's showing very good performance there, very knowledgeable, even better than a lot of the majority of chefs that are working presently in our kitchen. And I have to say, I just want my workplace to be more like adaptable and more acknowledgeable towards hiring women, yeah.
But, like, I think what I was trying to say was, like, even if, like, women are waitresses, there's nothing wrong with being waitresses.
There really isn't.
Yeah, it's more like men often, like, men are encouraged to go into positions of power, like, quote-unquote positions of power, and, like,
Toxic masculinity. Can we please talk about that?
And I know, but it's also, like, about, like, again, like, I'm saying how, like, just positions in general where men are seen as powerful. That's why, like, if a man is working as a chef, the chef is seen as a more higher position or more higher powerful ranking, position than a waitress. Like, even though there's nothing wrong with being a waitress, so, like men should be should be encouraged to be waitresses too. There's nothing wrong with being a waitress.
But though I agree with that statement, there's a certain, like, well, I'm not saying that a wait a waitress or waiter's job isn't difficult. There's a certain, like, amount of skill. Like, you have to – a lot of, like, chefs have to do a lot of, like, schooling for – like, depending on where, of course. But, like, some chefs have to go through schooling to become chefs. And whereas, like, waitresses and waiters just kind of get the job. And, like, I mean, I'm not saying that's true for everything we've – like, all the jobs we've talked about. But it's kind of something that tends to happen. And I agree with you that the imbalance between the two genders and the fields that they generally go into and the power that – is, I guess, expected, like, no, it's implied between them is really, but I don't know. It's
like, I'm saying this as, like, because I'm comparing this to things like nurses and doctors and how, like men don't generally go into nursing because nursing is seen as, like, a feminine job and, like, feminine, like, by default becomes, like, it becomes something bad or, like, wrong or, like it's seen as below. Does that make sense? Like,
I don't agree with that, though.
Yeah, I just want to also add something on. At my workplace, actually, there is actually, you can see the balance between male and female roles. Both, there is actually a balance, males and females. Good balance in wait, catering staff. Also, our managers, our head general manager of the whole restaurant is female. And before that, there were actually two female general managers of my restaurant. And also, it also depends, as you said, on the profession. Certain people pursue a different career. It may be fit for a certain, as you said, nursing, or even just, let's just say, maybe a teacher, but you can't always get the assumption because, like, people choose what they want to be. It's not, like, people maybe might get the miscommunication or just the misassumption that just because they see a certain person working as more of a certain role in as a career in society, then they might think, oh, this person is viewed as, oh, they're working in this position. It's low pay, but you have to realize it's the real meaning behind that.
Even if people, like, choose which field they go into, I think there is a certain level of promotion there too, like, that's, like, involved. Like, if you're gonna, like, on TV, if, like, all the nurses you see are women, then you're definitely going to think, oh, nursing is a job for women.
I did actually have a comment on your whole there's an equal, like, at your workplace, how there's, like, an equal representation between men and women. Is that due to their ability, or is it due to their gender, though? Because then, like, yes, as much as I love some, like, better representation, there's also, like, a very big, like, ability type of, like you should hire someone for their ability, not for something as superficial as gender, and or, like, race or whatever. It's just I like that they've done that, but I don't know the context behind it. So, yeah.
So, you don't think somebody should be given a job simply because they're a woman? And because, oh, for more representation.
I don't think that anyone should be hired for something like, oh, I like your shiny hair and I want you to be a foot model. It's like, that's kind of, I mean, like, it's still very, like, physical. These are still physical features, but it has nothing to do with each other. And it's kind of, I think that's absurd. It's, yeah.
Yeah.
And I totally agree. And when you think about the jobs, there's, like, those terms people use, like, as policemen and police, I mean, firemen and, yeah, like, mailmen. But, like, do you ever hear the term, like, police woman, police, like,
yeah,
firewoman, or,
I think,
like,
that again, I think that's more about, like, yeah, I agree that somebody shouldn't be hired just because of their gender, but so that people, like, so that hiring isn't gender-based, or, like, I think, it again, it comes back to, like, promoting females in STEM fields or in, like you said, like, more, like...
labor-intense.
Yeah, labor-intense works. Like, it shouldn't be, like, you shouldn't have, like, if you're hiring a squad of, like, a police, like, you shouldn't have it, like, 50-50, oh, 50% men and 50% equal, just to make it that. Like, it should be about ability, but so that more women want to be police, or so that because of that, we need more promotion. We need to, like, so, allow women to be seen in those roles.
So what you're saying is you want, like, oh, like, women on TV to be, like, policemen or firefighters.
Yeah, and, like, change the language we talk about, like you said, like, yeah. Police women, like, firewomen.
And I have to say, it's just the it's not what we just see in society. It's how people are portrayed in media,
yeah.
Portrayed in, like, we're, like, you know what I mean? And it's just that, like, people have the intention just because they see it on a screen, or they see it out, like, literally out in public, they get the wrong meaning. And I have to say, like, there has to be a change. There has to be better terms when it comes to this, better insights from people when they are hiring certain gender groups. And there should not be any inequality in a workplace or anywhere else just due on gender. And that also goes as well for ethnic groups and also people of different backgrounds. And I just want to close off just wondering, do you guys have any final comments about this topic?
We didn't get to talk about toxic masculinity.
But yeah, I think it needs to go on both ways. Like women need to be encouraged and promoted to do more, like she said, labor-intense works, and also men need to be encouraged to do, like, more traditional, like, more, yeah, like, jobs that are seen as feminine.
Like,
and, like, the...
husband.
Yeah, yeah.
Nursing.
Yeah.
Which isn't... which and should not be considered feminine.
But. Yeah, exactly. Like, those things. And, like, again, even if just the way we see feminism, of, like, femininity in general shouldn't be in a negative way, or, yeah.
And one more comment. Oh, okay. And that's all the time we have for the show tonight. I'm your host, Jacob, and we are here with our two guests,
Nikki
and Raisa.
Thank you so much for tuning in, and we hope we can catch you later.
Did you just say antibacterial soap?
Yeah, I can't spend a day without my antibacterial soap. It's way better than regular soap.
That's a myth.
Scientists recommend the use of regular soap over antibacterial soap.
Why is that?
The reason why is because antibacterial soaps need to be used on your hands for 2 minutes to be effective, but the average user only spends 10 seconds washing their hands. Therefore, antibacterial soap isn't as effective as regular soap.
2 minutes is way too long. But if I do